See, the problem is there's nothing we could personally do. There's nothing that we could personally do to be justified because the opposite. You know, like I say, you can go before the judge and say, I have the greatest defense in the world. And everybody's waiting. What is this defense? You just murdered somebody. And you go before the judge and you say, I'm guilty. Let me go free. You know, that is not a defense. You know, the acts that we have done have not justified us. They've condemned us because each of us are sinners. So the only way to be justified is to have the acts that we committed to be paid for. And that can only come by the blood of Messiah. Romans 5, we go over one more chapter, 1 and 2, and then I'll drop down to verse 8. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah, through whom also we have had access by faith into His grace, in which we stand, and we glory on the hope of the glory of Elohim. Drop down to verse 8. But Elohim commends His love to us, and that while we yet being sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more than being justified now by His blood, we shall be delivered from wrath through Him. For if while being enemies we were reconciled to Elohim through the death of His Son, how much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but also glorying in Yahweh through our Master Yeshua Messiah, through whom we now receive the atonement. The atonement or the reconciliation. So again, justification can come no other way but the blood of Messiah. Go to one other scripture in Galatians 2. Galatians, the second chapter, in verse 16. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the Levitical law, but that it is through faith in Yeshua Messiah, we also believed into Messiah Yeshua, that we may be justified by faith in Messiah and not by the works of the law. Because all flesh will not be justified by works of law. But if seeking to be justified in Messiah, we ourselves also were found to be sinners. Is Messiah then a minister of sin? Elohim forbid. But what I build again, these things which I destroyed, I prove myself that I have passed by the commandment. For by the Torah I am dead, that I might live to Elohim. I have been crucified with Messiah and I live, yet no longer I, but Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith toward the Son of Yahweh, the one loving me and giving His life on my behalf. I do not set aside the grace of Elohim, for if righteousness came through the law, then Messiah died without cause. So very simply, we're not denying that. The fact that we try to be obedient to the commandments, we're not trying to earn our salvation. We totally understand that. The only way to be made right before Yahweh is through the blood of Yeshua. That's why we all just kept the Passover. There's no other way. But like I said, it doesn't stop there. Just like when you look, 3 is the number of unity in Scripture. The outer court, the inner court of the Holy of Holies. You have the baptism of water, baptism of spirit, baptism of fire. When you're looking at this, you can't stop there. You can't stop at the outer court. You can't stop at the altar of sacrifice. You know, and that's where Pesach is. Justification. You have to be sanctified. But to be sanctified, you have to go into the holy place. But who can go into the holy place? Only priests. And that's why we go from Levitical order into Melchizedek order. So let's talk about sanctification now. Being set apart to become the bride of Messiah. So it's a setting apart to become something. It's the same way you could think about if you were to become a doctor, say. You have to go through school. So what you're doing is you're getting to a point where you're making that decision. And now you're going to be set apart to do it. So you go to college, you go to grad school, you do all your work. But you're not in that position yet. You need first to be set apart to learn to be in that position. And then from that point, once you've done it, once you've qualified yourself, now you can actually do it. So it's the same thing here. The sanctification is that setting apart. It's the setting apart, it's the training. But if you wanted to be a doctor, and you were sitting in a school of mechanics, you know, that's not going to help you much for doing doctor work. Might help you with fixing your car, but it ain't going to help you much for being a doctor. So you have to be set apart. You have to be set apart. Sanctification, being set apart to become the bride of Messiah, can only come by full separation of the world. And this is where the problem is today. We're living in a global world. It's the total opposite. And brethren don't see this. They think that the fact that they meet on Saturday, you know, the fact that they keep this day instead of that day, the fact that they eat this meat instead of that meat, they think that that's it. They think that that makes them holy and there's nothing else to do. And yet they go to the same schools as the world. You know, some of them even stay in the same churches. You know, they have the same friends. They're doing everything with the world. And as we're going to see, friendship with the world is enmity against Yahweh. You have to be sanctified. If you study about the believers in the wilderness, the longest period of believers called Waldenses that were there from around the 7th century AD all the way until the Protestant Reformation around 1600. So these people were there for close to about 900 years. That these people, they did missionary work. They trained people. They had a school of the barbs. I've been there myself. I've been there in Italy. I've seen it with my eyes. So they would train people out. It wasn't that they were hiding in the mountains because, ooh, they were afraid to touch the evil thing. No. They separated themselves from the world, how they lived, and then they trained to go out and make more disciples. And during that time, there was the worst pogroms that Rome ever did to believers. They would come to the Waldenses. There'd be thousands of Roman troops. They have a decree from Caesar. It might be 10 days, 21 days, whatever, 1 month. They would go up. Sometimes they would slaughter them. They would cut the heads of the children off and make the parents wear the heads of their children around their neck as they take them down the mountain and take them to prison. And you know what happened? Did they falter? Did they fall away? Did they get extinct? No, they grew. They grew in numbers by the hundreds of thousands. And why? Because they sanctified themselves. They sanctified themselves. A matter of fact, and we hear about them through their predators, you know, through their enemies. And you know what their enemies say? They say that these people are very modest. They say that the children, some of the young children that were 8 and 10 years old, can memorize whole books of the Bible. Some of them the whole New Testament. Because that's what they focused on. But they said that they would stay away from society because they feared if they lived among the people and they started to do commerce, that they would be tempted to fall away from Yahweh. And they literally separate themselves. And each of us know it. In our own world, maybe as I'm saying this, each of us in our mind are thinking where in our personal life we're being tempted because we're not staying sanctified. You have to stay sanctified. Can a man touch fire and not be burned? No. You cannot put temptation before you day after day after day and think it's not going to affect you. It's going to affect your spiritual life. It's going to affect your physical life. And overall, it's going to destroy you. So sanctification is a big process because you can't get to glorification before sanctification. And that's why I say the wilderness. I'm going to talk about the wilderness before we leave. You can't get to that physical wilderness where Yahweh's people will be in the end times if you don't come into the spiritual wilderness. You're not going to go from your 5,000 square foot houses and air conditioning and washing machines and indoor toilets to being out there with scorpions, you know, and peeing in a hole. It's not going to happen overnight. And that's why you have to have a spiritual wilderness. You have to, it's more than just getting rid of the traditions of Christmas and the tree and all those things. That's the very beginning of it. It's got to start somewhere. But there has to be a transformation in your life. And there has to be a separating from the world in all things. Or you will never make it through the end time. You'll never make it. You have to be sanctified before you are glorified. 1 Peter 1 in verse 2. 1 Peter 1 in verse 2. He says, according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua Messiah, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Sanctification leads to obedience. We see it over and over. Sanctification leads to obedience. Why does the Christian world say the law is nailed to the cross? They're in the outer court. They're at the altar of sacrifice. They never leave Passover. They never leave Passover. So they know the blood of Yeshua. They understand justification. But they never sanctify themselves to be glorified. Sanctification leads to obedience. If you do not separate yourself from paganism, you know, from worldly influences, from whatever it is, you will never be able to get the mind of obedience. Because that's the very first thing. The very first thing of sanctification is it leads to obedience. 1 Peter 2, go over one chapter 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 and 10. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy people, and a people for possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You who were then not a people, but now are the people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but now have mercies poured out upon you. How does that make you feel? We are a people for possession. You know, and I like that. I don't mind it. You know, in this world we live in, I'm free. I'm not going to follow a man. I'm not going to do this. I'm not into that. You know, from the time I became a believer, you know, I was a young, prideful man like anybody else. I knew I had to overcome that. You know, whatever I was told, as long as it wasn't breaking the Torah, I was for it. We do an exercise sometimes at the school about that, that we say, for the next 24 hours, of course, unless it's breaking Torah, whatever anybody asks you to do, do. Whether it's get me a glass of water, whether it's do this, and you'll see. You know, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be obedient to Yahweh in all things. We're not picking and choosing what fits our personal lifestyles. But we want to be obedient in all things. It's got to be. Because this is what sanctification is about. It's about a total separating from the ways of the world. And in the world we're looking in now, it's never been more evil. So like I said, unfortunately, we weren't born in 1886 in Little House on the Prairie. Because then maybe we can get away from it. Because society as a whole was somewhat sanctified. Not today. Today it's the total opposite. You know, today you have every vile wickedness to the point where even infanticide, it boggles my mind night after night as I pray to Yahweh about this, that the world is committing infanticide. We talk about the Holocaust. It was horrible. We talk about the Holocaust that happened to Armenians. It was horrible. We talk about all these things. We just had three people die in America in a bombing at a marathon. It's terrible. But they're going to go through all of this stuff and all of these things. And at the same rate, in less than 5 minutes, they will kill more babies than die in any of these things. 2 million babies a year just in America. Infanticide. That they are destroying. They're murdering them. They're murdering life. Life that Yahweh is creating, they're murdering. And they're calling it a woman's right to choose. When a woman says to me, I have the right to choose to do what I want with my own body. I say, well, if I were to take my wife and swing her around and kill you, why not? She has the right to choose to do with her body. We'll use her body to kill you. Is that, no, because then you're harming me. Well, what's wrong with the life of the unborn child? Why isn't anybody worried about that innocent baby who can't fight for themselves? Shows you the wicked world we live in. This is where unsanctification goes for. This is where it goes for. You start having these conferences and you know what? We can solve all our own problems. And we're really good people. And let's get the highest spirituality and get into all of this baloney. And that's all it is. It's baloney. It has nothing of truth, nothing of substance, nothing of reality. Because the reality is in Messiah. And the reality is in His Spirit. And only His Spirit can change your mind from the mind of Satan's world into the mind of Messiah. But if we are constantly, everything around us is with the world, it ain't going to happen. We have to be sanctified. We have to be sanctified because we see here. We are priests of Yahweh. We are a royal nation. We are a holy people. He set us apart for a purpose that we're going to get into here. Let's go to Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11. And I hope that all of us feel that way. That somehow, like the Apostle Paul said, that we're born out of time. You know? I would have loved to live on Little House on the Prairie, you know? And had it where the neighbors helped themselves and you all work together and all those kind of things. But unfortunately, we're not. You feel like you're born out of time when you see the evilness. You know, even now, homosexuality is a human right. So you can't even go into Scripture. The Bible is considered hate speech. You know? I've had people say to me over and over, take your God and get out of here. And it's the anger that's built against Yahweh and His Word. We haven't seen nothing yet. It's only going to get worse. And that's why, if we sanctify ourselves, Yahweh can protect us. Leviticus 11 and verse 7. And the swine, talking about the pig, though it divides the hoof and is cloven-footed, yet it does not bring up the cud, it is unclean to you. It is unclean to you. First, drop down to verse 43. You shall not pollute yourself with any swarming thing with swarms, nor shall you make yourself unclean with them, so that you should be defiled by them. For I am Yahweh your Elohim, and you have sanctified yourself, and you have become holy, for I am holy. And you shall not defile your persons with any swarming thing which creeps on the ground, for I am Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt to become your Elohim. And you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animals and the fowl, and every creature which moves on the water, and every creature which swarms on the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may be not. Like I said, everything is a pattern. And when we look at the whole Levitical order, as we'll see some scriptures here, the pattern was to separate from clean and unclean. So Yahweh used a ceremonial way of certain things, like a dead body is unclean, to teach us about clean and unclean. That there's things that are holy to Him, and there's things that are defiled. And we see the world today, the world is very defiled in the eyes of Yahweh. Isaiah 66 and verse 17. One verse. Isaiah 66 and verse 17. It says, those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to the gardens, each one in the midst, eaters of swine flesh, and the hateful thing, and the mouse, these are cut off together, says Yahweh. I've been in America, and I've told people at times, you know, yeah, you know, in China, they eat mice. Ugh, mice. Hey, yeah, I'll take one pork rib. It's like, what makes pork any less disgusting than a mouse? You know, look at a pig. Look at that ugly-looking thing out there in the mud and all the things. It's like, ugh, who would want to eat that? I never liked pork, even before, you know, Yahweh showed me His truth. It's not an animal that's made for food. It's that simple. You know, over here in Israel, you know what they use pigs for? They have good snouts. They use them to sniff out the bombs. So Yahweh created it. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't have a purpose. But the purpose wasn't for food. You know, maybe footballs. I don't know. But certainly not food. But the world, the people, they sanctify themselves. They want to make up their own rules. They want to sanctify themselves. But Yahweh sanctifies His people through His word. And that's why I say, you cannot be sanctified without obedience. You know, you cannot be sanctified. And I always felt like it says in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You know, since this is real, since this is living, why do it halfway? You know, there's no reward for keeping 5 commandments. Like the book of Jacob says, you break one, you break them all. You might as well do it all the way because there's no reward for anything less. And in your life, you're not going to see the happiness that you want. You know, the man was asking us yesterday, how do we know our way is right, right? Because there's a piece of Yahweh that surpasses all understanding. And when you have that truth, it's not self-righteousness, it's Yahweh righteousness. It's Torah righteousness. There's a righteousness that comes not from the Torah, but comes from His Spirit and the faith that's living in you. And there's a boldness that's there through Him. That's what it is, because it's truth. You know, not because we're better than anybody, simply because it's truth. If we go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Elohim, and you are not of yourself? You were bought with a price. Then glorify Elohim in your body and your spirit, which belong to Him. This is why smoking would be evil. It's a principle. Because smoking is defiling your temple, which is your body of the Holy Spirit. That's why you don't want to take things in your body. I say, you know, when you look at the Torah, some of these things were cultural. You know, like not boiling a kid in its mother's milk. That probably wouldn't be said today because that Canaanite practice isn't around. You know, it was a Canaanite cultic practice and Yahweh put it in there. But who knows? Today He might say refined sugar. Not to take refined sugar. It's poison. It destroys you. It causes diabetes. All of these things. So we want to think about it. You know, part of separation is what we eat, like we're seeing, in the laws of clean and unclean, and how the world does things. You know, how the world does things. We don't always have to have the latest toy for our children, the latest things, because it's all part of Babylon. It's all part of what the world is trying to get us hooked on. And they're trying to get us hooked on things that are not of Yahweh. But here it is. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, which you have from Elohim and you are not of yourself? You were bought with a price. Then glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Him. You were bought with a price. Do we realize that? In this world of freedom, you know, coming from Babylon, United States, the greatest thing people have is their right of freedom. You know? But yet, is there freedom? Which one of us has created himself? Which one of us owns the breath? Yahweh can swipe us down 3 minutes, take our breath away, we'll all be dead. So are we really? Are we Elohim or are we human? And if we're human, then we don't belong to anything, but we get to choose. He's given us free will on who we will serve. So it's that simple. None of us belong to ourselves. So all of these grandeur ideas that people come up with, that I'll never follow a man. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Everyone follows a man. The problem is most follow themselves. They're their own men. They follow themselves. But everybody's following something. And like I said, when all these grand ideas come out that the Sabbath is on Tuesday or you could eat leavened bread, it's all coming from somewhere. And where's it coming from? The Tower of Babel. It's all coming from the internet. So you will follow somebody. But you have free will to choose. And that's why Yahweh says, I put before you life and death, choose life. And if you follow the Torah, and you follow the commandments of Yahweh, and if you follow the leadership that He set up, it leads to eternal life. Now you have a choice. You do have free will. You could follow yourself. You could follow your own ways. You can pick and choose in here and say, okay, I'm not going to eat pork, but I'm not going to follow this. And we know there is a way that seems right to a man. The end result is death. So you have free will, and Yahweh allows you out of love to make that choice. But just know the consequences. That obedience leads to sanctification. And that's why we have to be obedient in all things, because we don't belong to ourselves. You know, He bought and paid for us. I said that, you know, I was a Sabbath believer, covenant, you know, baptized for 12 years before I was saved. I was that way, because I didn't understand it before that. I had to be broken, and I wasn't broken yet. But once I was broken, then I got the picture. I don't belong to myself. And sometimes Yahweh has to do that. Sometimes He has to break us. He has to get us to our knees. But you've got to be broken. Because if you're not broken, you will never enter grace. You have to know it. You can't just say it, but you have to know when you're looking down that death row, that's you. That's you. Every one of us have committed things that Yahweh calls treasonous and that Yahweh says has a death penalty. We can't just do it because, oh, you know what? Yeah, this is right. I get it. It's not enough. You have to understand your nature or you're never going to repent. Because the repentance is not just for what you did, it's what you are. It's knowing that in any given situation, by our human nature, we'll do anything. And we are selfish and we're evil as human beings. We're not good. It's that simple. And the only thing that changes you is the Spirit of Yahweh. And that's why when they said to Yeshua, good master, what good thing can I do to get eternal life? What do you say? No, don't call me good. Why do you call me good? There's one good Yahweh. But yet in His love for us, He bought and paid for us. So now we need to surrender that will back to Him. The same way Yeshua said, not my will be done, but your will to be done. And the more you hold on of you, you're not going to help yourself. It is a trick of Satan. He uses these as tricks. And sometimes, maybe we were hurt by someone in the past, so we're holding on. Sometimes you might meet people that they're sarcastic. You know, why are they that way? Because it's something that they use as a defense mechanism. Because if I'm nice, somebody's going to hurt me. But that's Satan talking. Because what does the Bible say? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, faith. And it doesn't matter if you were hurt 99 times. Yeshua was hurt 100. We have to keep moving on. We have to keep moving on. That's what sanctification is. We're not like the world. We don't revile back evil for evil. But we pray for those who persecute us. You know. And we do good to those who despitefully use us. It's not human to do that. Even the nicest people in the world, it's not human. But we are not human. We have the Spirit of Yahweh in us. We are going to a higher elevation. And that's the transformation that comes by sanctification. And it cannot come if you don't sanctify yourself. Because if not, you know what happens? It becomes only knowledge for vanity. You know, it becomes sitting there and having these conversations with people and know the Sabbath and know it's Sunday, know it's this. And it's all vanity. You know why? Because that person you're arguing with, they're not realizing their evilness. They're not looking for repentance. And what you're looking to is to be right. You want to be right. You want to come out of there ahead in the conversation. But sanctification is the setting apart for obedience to holiness. And that's what we should be seeking. 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 14. Do not unite in marriage with unbelievers. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, as it is said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Almighty. Then having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yahweh. See, sanctification will perfect your holiness. Who are your friends? Who are your communications with? You know, the people you're with are the people you're going to be like. You know, I had a man tell me one time, you know, that he said, I feel uncomfortable with the brethren. I feel more comfortable with my friends outside. And I said, it's because you're not seeking holiness. Because when you're seeking holiness, you should feel as uncomfortable as anything when you're around people that aren't holy. You know, do you feel uncomfortable when you're around people that are smoking, that are cursing, that are talking about things that are, you know, against Yahweh's will? It should be. You should feel that way. It shouldn't make you feel uncomfortable because the spirit in you should be feeling that way. So our relationships either lead to sanctification or bring us away from it. You know, and again, we're in the world but not of it. It doesn't mean you can't know people in the world. You know, we're friendly with people. We help people. All our neighbors around us, we help them whenever they need to. Sometimes our neighbor asks us, I'm going to be away. Can you feed the cat? Sure. But there's a dividing line. There's a dividing line to it between the people of Yahweh and the people of the world, because there simply isn't enough time for the people of the world. Time is moving by. And every time you're with the people of the world, little by little, you're losing your sanctification. And the scary part about it is, this is real life stuff. The more you lose your sanctification, you know, what'll happen is there'll come a point that you just don't care anymore. You don't read your Bible. It's not interesting. You'll stop coming to meetings. Maybe I only go to Sabbath once a month. You know, you'll have no interest. And like I said, I could go to those places we go to here. I've been there 100 times. I am so excited every time I go to a place. I am so excited because it's somewhere in the Bible that we can read about it and it can come alive to it. And never lose that first love. You know, the Ephesus congregation, what were they rebuked for? They lost their first love. Everything became routine before that. And that's what happens. Sometimes, you know, the cares of life pull people down. And before you know it, you know, maybe I won't come to Jerusalem this year. Or maybe I won't do this. And you wind up just having the cares of the world pull you back. And you lose your sanctification. And that's why sanctification shouldn't be something you put on at feast time or at Sabbath. It's something you live. It's something you clothe yourself with every day of your life. You clothe yourself with Yahweh's sanctification. Because that way, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. If you're clothing yourself with sanctification, immediately when you're unsanctified by something, you're going to recognize it. But if you're living in the world and your friends are in the world and you're working in the world, you don't know the difference. You've got all of these lines crossed in your life. And what is sanctification? And what is worldliness? And you can't tell anymore. That's why you have to clothe yourself. Like I say, like with holiness, you have to clothe yourself with it and live it every day. John 17, in verse 9. And this is Yeshua's last prayer, right before he's ready to be crucified, to the Father. And look what he says for his true disciples. John 17, 9 through 11. I pray concerning them. I do not pray concerning the world, but concerning the ones whom you gave to me, because they are yours. And all my things are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And no longer am I in the world, yet these are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you gave to me, that they may be echad, united, as we are united. See, so we can't run to the mountains. Unfortunately, we can't, you know, go to the moon. We're in this world, but we shouldn't be of the world. And that's why Yeshua is praying. He's praying for our sanctification. He's praying that we're not going to be tempted to be part of the world and the wickedness that the world is part of. Then let's drop down to verse 15. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So a big part of your sanctification is Yahweh's word. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And I fear for their sakes. I sanctify myself so that they may also be sanctified by truth. And I do not pray concerning these only, but also concerning those who will believe in me through their word. Here we are. that all may be ikad, united, as you are in me, Father, and I in you, that they may be ikad in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory which you have given to me, that they may be ikad as we are ikad. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you love me. Father, those whom you have given to me, I desire that where I am, they may also be with me, that they might see my glory that you have given to me, because you loved me from the foundations of the world. Righteous Father, indeed the world did not know you, but I knew you, and these have known that you sent me. And I made known your name to them, and will make it known, that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in you. Wow. Sanctification, how important is it? We can't be one with Yahweh without it. You know, when people say, you know, I don't feel close to Yahweh these days. The question always is, who moved? Who moved? Every time you sin, every time you worldliness, you're moving away. Yahweh can't be in the presence of sin. He can't be. So when we're defiling His word, and when we're not keeping ourselves sanctified, we're moving ourselves away. And the further you move away, the more clutter, the harder it is to hear His voice. And we're playing Russian roulette with our spiritual life. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Starting in verse 1. For the rest then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort you in our Master Yeshua, even as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, that you abound more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua, that this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication, each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification in honor. And there's physical fornication, there's spiritual fornication. You know, whenever we get into idolatry, that's spiritual fornication. You know, Christmas, Easter, all of these things that come up. So he's pleading with us to possess our time in sanctification. Revelation 17. Verse 14, one verse. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is master of master and king of kings, and the ones with him are the called and the chosen and the faithful. Here you have justification, sanctification, called and chosen, but we don't want to stop there. We want to be faithful. Called, chosen, faithful, justification, sanctification, glorification. Sanctification sets us apart to be holy, but it's only the first step. It's only the first step. We have to move on to perfection from there. Matthew 5 in verse 48, become ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect or complete. And that's what we need to do. Now, if you don't sanctify yourself, you can't even start to do it. But sanctification is just the beginning of the process. So, you know, as I'm saying these things, and if you think that's hard, simply just to separate, wow, then it's going to get much harder from there. Because to be glorified, it takes even a lot more. It takes even a lot more effort. Romans 8 in verse 30. Romans the 8th chapter, one verse, verse 30. It says, but whom he marked in advance, these he also called. And those he called, these he also justified. And those whom he justified, these he also glorified. And that's why you have the outer court, justification, altar of sacrifice. The inner court, where the priests go. But then you want to go to the sanctification, but you want to go to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is the glorification, to be in the presence of Yahweh. And like we said, Yahweh can't be in the presence of sin. And that's why you have to sanctify yourself first. And the sanctification leads to obedience, and the obedience will bring you into His presence. And that's where the real transformation takes place. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And I believe, I've said this many times, that there is a great element of the Holy Spirit that is not being tapped into today by believers. Because of Babylon, because of Western society, because of the lifestyle of people. But there are things when we look in this Bible, there are miracles. Many times in America, in my travels, people said, Don, why don't we see the miracles today we see in the Bible? I said, where are you living? You know, what's going on? We are seeing them. We're seeing them, but you have to be sanctified. And you have to be going from sanctification into glorification if you want to see these miracles. But it's the same. Yahweh the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same miracles He did before, the same He's doing today. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but the power of Elohim to the demolition of strongholds. The prince of the power of the airwaves, and I'm going to talk about that today. That most people have no idea how this battle is going. And believe me when I say it, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Satan is stronger than us. He's not stronger than Yahweh's Holy Spirit, but he's stronger than us, and he can hoodwink us. He can deceive us. But here, like he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but the power of Elohim to the demolition of strongholds. What stronghold is holding you in your life? Is it lust? Is it addiction? You know? Is it greed? Is it anger? Is it covetousness? What stronghold is holding you down? Because the Holy Spirit can break any stronghold. But here it is, casting down, verse 5, imaginations, and every false thing lifting itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah. Wow. What a goal to go for. What a goal to go for. But you can do it first. You sanctify yourself. You set yourself out for obedience to Yahweh. And you're moving into glorification. You can do this. Bringing every thought into the obedience of Messiah. We say at the school, visually, we think of it, the thought coming in. And if that thought's not of Yahweh, grab it, throw it, get rid of it. See, even Yeshua was tempted. There's no sin in temptation. Yahweh allows Satan to tempt us for our good, just like with Job. The key is not meditating on the temptation. And if you're not sanctified, man, that's going to come in. So if you're sitting there in front of a cable TV with 1,090 channels, flick, 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 forget it. You know? That's why I say, the time to pray to Yahweh isn't when you're at the end of the bar stool. You've lost the battle already. You've lost the battle when you left your house. You lost the battle when you drove to the bar. You lost the battle when you walked in the door. And then at the end of the night, when you wake up the next day, like, oh, how did this happen? Why is it always me? Because you didn't keep yourself sanctified. And if you're strong in the Spirit, taking every thought into the captivity of the Messiah. See, we have the mind of Messiah. His Spirit is His mind, and that mind is in us. So when somebody maybe says something to you a little strong, and your human nature, and Satan is telling you, say something back. Nope. Take it, grab it, get rid of it. And say, thank you, I'll think about that. Gossip doesn't come from Yahweh. You know, anger doesn't come from Yahweh. Like I said, if there's things in your spirit that belong to Satan, believe me when I say, he's going to come looking for them because he has the authority of it. We have to take every thought into the captivity of Messiah. And that's why we have to watch. We have to watch what we're watching. We have to watch what we're reading. We have to watch the people we're with. You have to watch where you're working. You have to set a life of sanctification. You know, there can't be a contradiction. There's a contradiction. If I'm saying I'm a believer in Messiah and I believe in life, and I'm working at an abortion clinic that does abortions, or I'm working at a cigarette factory that kills people, you know, a job is a job is a job. Like I say, at the end of the day, you're not going to remember that job you quit or that job you got fired by. But you're certainly going to remember if you lose eternal life because you're doing something that's taking life instead of giving life. We want to make sure we're keeping ourselves. Are you bringing every thought into captivity? You can't do this if you're not being sanctified. As the prince of the power of the airwaves will be infiltrating your mind through TV, internet, radio, music, and now the new thing. See, remember, when movies came out, now he can infiltrate you through the movies, but it's only on once a week, right? They used to have it when they first came out. It was weekends. And now they come out with TV. Now he can get you every day. But he's limited. There's only 3 channels. And sometimes they're news. And even when TV first came out, remember, at 11 o'clock, the fuzzy screen would come on till 5 in the morning? So what does he do? Hey, he gets cable TV. Now we're going to get 1,000 channels there. But again, there's still regulations. And you can't put on bad stuff because of children and all this other stuff, hey, bring in HBO. Every way along the way, he's looking, because every time he gets a piece of the people, there's a few that are holding out. So he's got to get something more, got to get something more. Now he's come up with these idols. Now people, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they can't leave without this idol. That, even on Sabbath, even on everything, the idol, the idol. And like I say, just go home and go to a mall, go somewhere, and just watch. Just watch for 10 minutes and see how addicted people are to the prince of the power of the airwaves. The prince of the power of the airwaves. And what's on these idols? What's on all this stuff? You know? Sure, there's a little bit of good. You know, you could be contacted. I think, who wants to be contacted? You know, do I really want to be contacted now? I want my big buzzer going off. Wait a second, you know, and answering the phone. For what reason? For what reason? How can you focus on what you're doing if you're getting clutter everywhere in your life? It's going to destroy you, and it is destroying people. Just look in 10 years of internet. Look at pornography. Look at adultery. Look at all the evil. Look at the millions of religious websites with falsehoods. It has gotten so bad in just 10 years. In just 10 years. And it's not just the world. It's worse in the church. At least Christianity. I don't know statistics, you know, for Sabbath keepers. But I don't think they're far behind. And instead of being sanctified, Yahweh's people are running toward it. You have to come out with the new thing. And what happens? Thousands of people online, they want to be the first ones there. Sometimes killing each other to be the first one in the door. And Yahweh's people are right there. Do you want to be sanctified? Do you want to go on to glorification? Or you want to hold on to your idol? And it's an idol. I'm telling you, it's an idol. All of this is idolatry before Yahweh. You know? All of it is wickedness and vileness. My friend was telling me, just over here in Jerusalem, you know, that the congregation, they had this movie, and all this stuff in the movie was bad stuff, and there was drugs and all this stuff, and even adultery. But then at the end, they showed that the guy came to repentance and accepted Jesus in his heart. And he was asking, well, it turned out okay. What do you think? I'm saying, are you crazy? Why would you watch a minute of that trash? Why would you want any of it? And yet, Yahweh's people, they don't know how to keep themselves sanctified. And I'm telling you, the world is changing so quick. We're seeing it so quick. You're going to get caught up where you'll get swept over like a wave if you don't control it. And the bottom line is, most people will not tell you a lot of this stuff. But if you could look around, Eric did a message on it, I did a message on it on the internet. I'm telling you, there is so much addiction and evil stuff going on with that that you can't imagine. And if something is set up by the prince of the power of the airwave, because I can tell you 1,000% Yahweh didn't set up that internet highway. And it wasn't Al Gore either, even though he said it. It's Satan. Why do I want anything to do with Satan's vials? You know, and we have to be careful. Sanctification. What is going in your mind? The prince of the power of the airwaves, he's infiltrating you. How much clutter does Satan have in your life? If you're going day to day and you never have time, you know, you're always thinking about when you're going to, you know, have more time for study, more time for prayer. But it just goes, day goes into day, month into month, year into year. And it's just, you're on this merry-go-round. There's too much clutter in your life. It's Pesach, right? It's Pesach, time for spring cleaning. But not just the leaven. It's time for the cleaning of our souls. Not just physically, but spiritually. Where is your time spent? With brethren or unconverted? Satan wants to rob your time through these dumb gadgets that he brings into this world. He wants to steal your sanctification. That's it. Because once he has your sanctification, you're done. Because we're born. We're born with a fallen nature already. And Yahweh is transforming that nature into the mind of Messiah. Once you defile the nature of Messiah and you go back to the world, like Peter said, you know, like a pig going back to the mire. You're done. You're done. He doesn't want you to move on to glorification. He's trying to stop us. Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There has never been a more evil time than we're living in today. And every one of us are different. You know, I'm hitting on one little having you here. But you all know, each of you know which in your life what you have to clean up. We have to redeem the time. You have to take the time back. And if you don't have time for prayer and study and meditation and fasting, then you need to redeem the time. What is taking that time? You know, you have to make better scheduling. You have to get rid of some things. You have to whatever, maybe change a job, whatever it is. But you have to make sure that Satan is not stealing your time, because literally it says we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23 in verse 9. He says, when you go forth into camp against your enemies, then keep yourself from every evil thing. If there is among you any man who is not clean because of a discharge at night, then he shall go to the outside of the camp. He shall not come into the middle of the camp. And it shall be as evening is turning, he shall bathe in water. And as the sun is going down, he shall come into the middle of the camp. And you shall have a place outside the camp, and you shall go out there. And you shall have a tool on your staff. And it shall be as you sit outside, you shall dig with it, and shall turn back, and shall cover that which comes out from you, going to the toilet. For Yahweh your Elohim walks in the middle of your camp, to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, so that he may see no unclean thing in you and turn away from you. You know, we're one body. Some of us are pinky, some of us are hand, some of us are an arm. But we are one body. We're all part of the body of Messiah. And when we're out there during the week, if we're defiling ourselves, you know, with going to bars or doing things that are unclean in Yahweh's eyes, and then we come together, we defile the whole congregation. And like he says here, even for the point of just going to the toilet, had to be outside the camp. Because he's saying, I am dwelling among you. Be set apart. Be set apart. You know, if not, we will defile each other. Holiness is a mindset. Just like modesty is a mindset. You know, if you talk to 10 different people and ask about modesty, you can get 10 different opinions. But holiness is a mindset. The outward appearance is simply an extension of how you think and who you are. Your outward extension or your outward appearance is simply an extension of how you think and who you are. Are you dying to the old man? Or are you trying to keep him revived? Are you keeping him on life support? Are you dying to the old person? You can't be sanctified if you're letting that old person live in you. Do you look, do you dress, and do you act as if Yahweh is walking in the camp? And that's why I say, even coming to Shabbat, you know, we're appearing before Yahweh, we're asking for his presence. Now again, not all of us can afford maybe a suit or a tie or whatever, but are you at least wearing the best you have when you're appearing before Yahweh? Do you feel the difference when you're coming and you're asking for Yahweh's presence to come among us? You know, do you feel that difference? Do you keep the place sanctified? You know, we try to. You know, we know there's no earthly temple today, but do you try to keep your congregation sanctified? Do you try to keep it holy to Yahweh so that he can dwell among you and he can live among you? Many congregations today, they won't deal with sin. I've been shocked to some of the things I see. Even as a visitor sometimes, I'll be asked to visit a congregation and I'll find out that there's open adultery going on. And they let it go on in the congregation. The elder won't deal with it. You know, I'm sorry. You know, if you want Yahweh to dwell among you, you cannot have open sin in your congregation. And you have to deal with it. Believe me, I don't like dealing with it. I hate dealing with that kind of stuff. I would rather be the guy sitting in the back of the room and just shaking hands, saying hello, and being friendly. But when Yahweh puts you in a position and you know you're accountable to him, I'll deal with whatever I have to deal with as long as I'm alive. I'll do it because it's the job he gave me, not because I like it. But we all need to be that way in our families, in our congregations. We need to keep that sanctity that he gives us that sets us apart to be special than anybody else. Because it's his holiness that's living and dwelling among us. And we don't want to profane it. Because if you profane it, what's going to happen? It's going to leave. And then we're like everybody else. We're no different than everybody else then. Revelation 5. Revelation 5 in verse 4. And I wept much because no one worthy was found to open and to read the scroll, nor to see it. And one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion, being of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, overcame so as to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I saw, and behold, in the midst of the throne and in the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders was a lamb standing as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim, having been sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having harps and golden bowls full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and by your blood you purchased them to Yahweh out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And he made them kings and priests to our Elohim, and they shall reign on the earth." And I saw and I heard a sound of many cherubs around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and their number was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, "Worthy is the Lamb, having been slain, to receive the power and the riches and the wisdom and the strength and the honor and the glory and the blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and in the earth and under the earth and the things that are on the sea and the things to all of them I heard saying, 'To him sitting on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the might forever and ever.'" And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the one living forever and ever. Do we give Yahweh the glory that he deserves? When we go into our prayer closet, are we fervent with our prayers? Are we realizing the majesty, and the blessing that here it is, he gives us, like we just read here. These cherubs have our prayers and bring it before the throne of Yahweh. What a blessing that he gives his children to come before him with any petition that we have. And do we glorify him when we do this? The glory of Yahweh should bring us to our knees in worship. You can't have true worship without sanctification. If you're not sanctified, you'll never have true worship. And again, the sanctification leads to glorification. And without true worship, we have nothing but selfish human vanity. You could see the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and you could see some of the most beautiful voices in the world, but they don't glorify Yahweh. They don't glorify Yahweh. And what glorifies Yahweh is when we give him, like we said in Romans 12, the living sacrifice. We give him the praise of our lips, that we're not out here gossiping. We're not out here putting people down. We're out here lifting people up. We're glorifying him. We're helping to support the body of Messiah. And this is what's praising him. And we want to make sure we're doing it. We want to make sure it's not just, like I said, a physical thing, but it's a mindset with our heart, our mind, our soul, and the strength to glorifying him. We must surrender to the mind of Messiah to take every thought into captivity. And like I said, a lot of times, I met the enemy. The enemy is me. Well, we say that. That guy Don, I don't like him too much. I've been trying to kill him for 32 years now, but he keeps popping back up, But one of these days, I'm going to get him, One of these days. Leviticus 15, in verse 25. "And if a woman has an issue of her blood many days outside the time of her impurity, or if she issues beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness, she shall be as the days of her impurity, she is unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her issue, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity to her, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her impurity. And whoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And if she is cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take to herself 2 turtle doves, or 2 young doves, and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall atone for her there before Yahweh for the issue of her uncleanness. So you shall separate the sons of Israel from their uncleanness, and they shall not die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is in their midst. We know this was part of the ceremonial law. You know, that's why I say, if a woman was in her monthly cycle and she sat on that chair and I sat on that chair, I can't catch it. You know, it's not contagious. It's not a physical law of clean and unclean. It's a ceremonial law that is showing us something. What it's showing us is we affect each other. We affect each other. And as we affect each other, we have to make sure we come into the camp clean. We have to make sure we come into the camp clean. We want to make sure we're not losing our sanctification and affecting other people. 1 Corinthians 3. There was a story that I heard a couple of years ago of a man that was called into his child's school. He was in high school. And the teacher was trying to teach all the parents. They wanted to teach the children about STDs and all these different things. And instead of teaching them abstinence, they wanted to just teach them, you know, with condoms and all this other stuff. And the one father, who was a believer, was extremely upset. And he said, I'm not going to partake in this. I don't believe in it. I'm not partaking. And he sat in the back of the room by himself. And the teacher had this exercise that he was doing where he didn't tell them at first, but he had each person shake the hand of the next person, and shake the hand of the next person, and shake the hand of the next person. And then after they all shook each other's hands, he was trying to show them why they need, you know, to be using condoms, because how easy you can spread disease. And how it goes from person to person. And he said, you see now, in the room, everybody has been affected. And then the man in the back of the room raised his hand, and he said, no. One was not affected, the one who chose to abstain. So abstinence works. And it's the same spiritually. We need to be abstinent from sin. We need to be abstinent from the ways of the world. Because as we partake in the ways of the world, we will be affected with it. We will affect each other. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. He says, the work of each will be revealed, for the day will make it known, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire will prove the work of each, what sort it is. If the work of anyone which he builds survives, he will receive his reward. And the one whose work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. But he will be delivered, but so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Elohim and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? And whoever defiles the sanctuary of Elohim, Elohim will destroy, for the sanctuary of Elohim is holy, which you are. One of the main scriptures in Jeremiah 50:28, why Yahweh is so angry at Babylon, he says they're defiling his temple. You know, by all of this world globalism and all the things that they're pushing on the world and all of the promiscuity and all the things that they're pushing, they're defiling his sanctuary. And many people are being lost. And Yahweh is not happy about it. But we have free choice. We have free choice, and we'll pay the consequences for our decisions. Haggai 2 and verse 12. He says, behold, if one bears holy flesh in the wing of his garment and touches his wing to the bread or boiled food or wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if the unclean of body touches these, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, it is unclean. So again, if you're holy and you're touching the profane, your holiness doesn't make the profane holy. But certainly if you're holy and you're touching the profane, the profane makes you profane. And then look at the next verse. And Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. So again, that's why we have to make sure we keep ourselves sanctified if we want to be glorified. 2 Thessalonians 2. There is no 2 Thessalonians 8. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. And then the lawless one will be exposed, whom our master Yeshua will consume by the spirit of his mouth and will destroy by the brightness of his presence. His coming is due to the working of Satan in all power and miraculous signs in lying wonders. That's what people are looking for today. They're not looking for holiness. They're not looking for sanctification. They're looking for signs and wonders. And in all deceit of unrighteousness, and those who will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And because of this, Yahweh will send to them a working of deception for them to believe the lie, that those not believing in the truth, but who have delighted in unrighteousness, all may be damned. But we ought to thank Yahweh always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Yahweh chose you from the beginning to salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith, to which He called you through our preaching to be the glory of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Sanctification leads to the glorification. Proverbs 20 in verse 8 says about the king, not to even look upon the evil. Not to even look upon the evil. And we were watching a program with our daughter not too long ago. I think it was one of those Sarah Green Gables maybe. And there was something on there where somebody was getting hurt or something, and our daughter got upset. You know, I said, "Mommy, Mommy," and we tried to say, "No, no, no, that's not real." And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? She's got it right. To her, everything out of her eyes is real and pure. And when she's seeing something, you know, if somebody's being hurt, even though she's not thinking it's TV, she's thinking it's pure. And yet people every day, every second, people are watching murder. People are watching killing. People are watching all these evil things on TV. And what has it done? It's desensitized society. So now it's like no big deal. You know, when you hear about these things, it's like, oh, you know, another earthquake, another 1,000 killed. Oh. But who are the people in the end time that Yahweh is setting apart, like we read the other day in Ezekiel 9? The ones who are sighing and moaning over the abominations done to the earth. We don't want to be desensitized to the things happening in the world. You don't want to be desensitized. You don't want to feel like, well, what can you do? You know, we're, oh, we see it. These people are dying of hunger. Okay, is it dinner time yet? We need to internalize it. We need to internalize it. No, many of our own brethren are suffering in many ways also. But TV will do that. TV, wrong TV, wrong movies, it will desensitize us. To make it in our mind as we watch it over and over again that it's normal. And anything that's against the word of Yahweh is nothing but a perversion. And it's going to affect your sanctification, which is going to affect your glorification. That's why you want to make sure, particularly, one thing is music. There is nothing that will affect your state of being more than music. And face it, you know, Satan is the first musician. Talks about it in Ezekiel 28. He had those bagpipes. You know, they say the Barry Manilow song of many years ago, "I Write the Songs," was inspired by Satan. I write the songs that make the young girls sing. I write the songs. Because music can affect us. Now, it can do it in a good way, too. When we sing here, I hope all of us are feeling uplifted and praising to Yahweh. But music of the world is going to do the exact opposite. And I can't believe the music today that they have. These people put these headphones on, and bang, 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 bang. And no wonder why. They're coming out like zombies, and they have green hair, and they're all tattoos everywhere over their body. And it's like, it's almost like they're giving themselves over to this demonic spirit. And I know music is a big part of it. You know, you look at these rock groups, they're evil. They're absolutely wicked and evil. And now what do? There's Christian rock. You know, I don't know, that sounds like a misnomer to me, Christian rock. But it's another way for Satan to steal your mind and to steal your sanctification. You know, and you're not going to find sanctification out there. You're just not going to find it. You're going to find the opposite. You know, that's why I say this will be the only time in the history of this 6,000 year plan that Satan physically comes down, he enters a human body, and he will be the leader of the world. Can you imagine that? We've never seen it before. That's why it'll be the worst time the world has ever known. And he will accomplish his kingdom for 42 months. We don't wait till that time. We need to come out of that world now because he's already setting up that kingdom the same way that Yahweh is preparing for his kingdom. But we have to choose which one. What are you watching? What are you listening to? And who is influencing you? Who is influencing you? Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks, so he is." As a man thinks, so he is. The reason why people are not holy is they're defiling themselves. We must, like I said, clothe ourselves with holiness daily. Stay separated of the world and all things. To pray 2 or 3 hours a day is nothing. To study for hours is nothing. To fast weekly is nothing. To meditate on the word of Yahweh every day is nothing. And I say, the first century congregation would think that 90% of Christians and believers today are apostate. And that's a fact. That's a fact. And we need to start putting on this mindset of holiness. Philippians 4:8. Because like I said, it's also in pride. It's also in lust. It's also in greed. It's also in gossip. These are all things that come from the prince of the power of the airwaves that has no part in Yahweh's congregation or the spirit of Yahweh. Philippians 4:8. I'll start in verse 6 actually. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Messiah Yeshua. And finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. Yahweh's word fills us. That's why I love the Psalms. I love the Proverbs. You know, I say memorize Proverbs. If you can memorize it, and any situation comes up in your life, the Holy Spirit will give you a proverb. You know, it's the art of skillful living. And we don't want to make decisions from our heart or our mind. We want to do it from His word. But it's got to be there to do it. You have to implant it in, just like with a computer. But this is what His Spirit is. These are the things that will help His Spirit to define what's right. 1 John 2, in verse 15, we'll be ending here shortly. 1 John 2. In verse 15, it's very simple. Do not love the world nor the things in the world, for anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all which is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but everyone doing the will of Elohim abides forever. Do not love the ways of the world. I'm telling you, it's Passover. It's time for spring cleaning. Any music that's not of Yahweh, throw it in the garbage. Any books that's not of Yahweh, throw it in the garbage. You know? Whatever it is that you have around your house that's not of Yahweh, get rid of it. Whatever is in your life, whatever people are there that are tempting you wrongly, it's time for spring cleaning. It's a turning point, and we need to start really doing it. Because like we see here, do not love the world or the things of the world. If you have the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's pretty plain and simple. It's one way or the other. 1 Thessalonians 3, and verse 11. May our Elohim and Father Himself and our Master Yeshua Messiah direct our way to you. And may the Master make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all, even as we do also toward you, in order to establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our Elohim and our Father at the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah with all His saints. For the rest, my brothers, we beg you and we exhort you in our Master Yeshua, even as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, that you abound more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication, each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Elohim, not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all these is Elohim, even as we told you before and solemnly testify. For Yahweh did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, the one that does an injustice does not wrong man, but Yahweh, even he giving his Holy Spirit to us. Now as to brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you. For your own nature teaches you of Elohim to love one another. For you also do it toward the brothers in all Macedonia. But brothers, we exhort you to increase your love more and more, and that you strive to be quiet and to attend to your own affairs, and that you labor with your own hands as we commanded you, that you lead a life of good example toward those outside, and that you may have need of nothing. So this is the way the believers were living. I will read one more scripture in Titus. I love Paul's letters because they're wonderful letters, and they're really admiration to the believers. They really help us in the times we're living in, and they really are eternal. Titus, the second chapter, starting in verse 1. But you speak things which become sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, sensible, pure, sound in faith and love, in patience. Teach the older women likewise to behave as becomes the worship of Elohim, not false accusers, not being enslaved by much wine, but to become teachers of good things, that they might train the young women to be modest, to love their husbands and their children, to be discreet, chaste, good homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of Elohim may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the children to be modest, holding forth yourself as a pattern of good works, about all things in doctrine, in purity, sensibleness, in corruption. Choose sound words that are instructive, so that no man can point the finger of scorn at us, that he of opposition may be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about you. Let slaves be subject to their own masters, well-pleasing in all things, not speaking against them, not stealing, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of Elohim our Savior in all things. For the saving grace of Elohim has appeared to all men, instructing us that having denied unrighteousness and worldly lusts, we should live discreetly and righteously and holy in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearance of the glory of our great Elohim and Savior Yeshua, Messiah, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify a special people for himself, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So we really are, we're one body, you know. We affect each other in a good way or a bad way. But this is a great time during this Passover. We see from the example of the children of Israel, we don't want to be murmurers, we don't want to be complainers, but we want to be uplifting to one another. We want to bear one another's burdens. We want to be there for each other. I think we really understand justification. I think we all understand the great sacrifice that Yeshua did for us. I think to a degree we understand sanctification, even if we're not fully implementing it. But I think it's a great time to start. Because like I said, I think the thing that all of us would want if we had one prayer was to go from sanctification to glorification. You know, like it says in Hebrews 12:15, without holiness you will not see Elohim. And that's our goal of life, you know, to see the one who has been guiding and directing our mind through his Spirit living in us, to literally see him face to face and to be able to bow before him that day and give glory to him. So I pray that this message has helped and it is a blessing, because we know we need to go from justification to sanctification to glorification. Yahweh bless.